afternoon, and welcome back to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I am Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
It just feels different. I don't know.
It does. It just feels better.
There's hope in the air.
I know. No crying here. Although there has been quite a bit across the globe.
There has been a lot of crying.
And this just in, heard from a woman this week that Trump is exactly like the Nazis. He just wants to build the wall just like the Nazis when they built that wall to keep the Jews out in the 1930s.
That's right. Click, then they hang up on you. Yeah, so check your history, folks. That's what really went down.
You gotta wonder what's going on out there in public school. So, honestly, I mean, when they're hysterical, they might be hysterical about something that actually is not even true. But that was one of the better calls. I thought I'd share that from the boohooing ranges out there. Let's see. We've got our website is up and running. WeThePeopleRadio.us. I've got all of the archives up, posted, fixed, ready to go. So you've got 6 years of programming if you'd like to listen back. And our contact information's all on there if you would like to send us ideas for programs or ideas for guests, especially if you read any great books or hear somebody on the radio or see somebody interviewed on TV. Usually it's like 2 minutes. So shoot us the names. We'll see if we can get them on longer and learn more about them. And that's mostly all, eh?
I think so.
Okay.
Other than I just want to say again, I just feel like
another victory lap.
We've got a lot of hope again.
Exactly.
Yeah, things are going to change, and it's going to be exciting.
I know it. We've got some fun music for you today too. We've been working on that. Second half of the show is on the VA. We're going to speak with Kristen Rule. She's got some, you know, thoughts and updates for us on the VA. I think you guys will enjoy the memo I have for you. So stick with us for that. It's about the bonuses. I'll just like give you a little sneak preview. VA bonuses. And first hour, we have Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. And he has been on the program once before. I got to add his other show. I forgot to do that. All right, everything isn't updated. There's still more to do. I'll do it while we're on the air. Lyle, so how much fun have you had the last 2 weeks?
Hey, it's so nice to be with you all again. I'm surprised that you invited me back on. But, but thank you.
Oh, we had a super good time last time you were on.
it's really wonders, isn't it, Bob, when I send a check over there and you guys cash it and they say, yeah, you can come back on.
Hey, wait a minute. We didn't know about that.
I didn't.
Is that
I
how you got that new van out from, Bob?
So far. That's really impressive.
Well, I figure you're hearing the celebration from a different segment of the population. So, what are you hearing out there?
Well, again, thank you for being such gracious hosts and allowing me back on. I don't have my sidekick Claire Lopez with me today, so maybe I'll get to actually answer some questions and say something.
He won't be preempted by Mount Rushmore again.
I always kid. She is really the varsity. She does wonderful work, doesn't she? And she is on the cutting edge of providing intelligence to the Congress and to many different sectors, not only here in the United States, but internationally. And it's always fun when I get to be with her. It's been quite a 2 weeks, you're right. Depending on which side of the aisle you're on, you're either celebrating or you're with many of the buttercups who are just gouging themselves with all sorts of sugar and cotton candy trying to figure out how to get through the next 24 hours. The election was not a surprise to some folks. If you'll remember, I sent a letter out on November 6th, 2 days before the election, and I believe Erin received it. And what I said was that based on Isaiah 45 in the Bible, I believed that we would have a respite and that Mr. Trump would be elected. Not because he walks on water, but because he's the right man at the right time to help save this country from going down a path it would have never come back from. We are still on a path that's rather tenuous. There are a number of issues, I'm sure we'll get into them, not only economic, but socially and culturally, that are very, very concerning and alarming. The past 2 weeks has demonstrated that he is serious about coming in and, as he claims, draining the swamp. If you look at the appointments he has already made, these are all stellar individuals in their fields. They're all well-credentialed, and they're all patriots, and they believe in the republic, not a democracy. And that's something, again, our schools don't teach, that we are a republic,
and that
not
is,
a
that's
democracy.
A huge point.
We're mob rules.
Absolutely.
The Democrats like to consider us a democracy because they love the idea of mob ruling.
Well, they say
but
it all the time, too.
A country of laws. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
They refer to it as a democracy all the time. I mean, it's
always that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You guys are correct. And if you keep saying that, after a while, other people will slip up and start saying it. And then there's another person, then another. And before long, you have 20 people and then 30. And I mean, and that's what happens when you change a culture. You come in with a set of beliefs and agendas that are absolutely counterculture to the one that you're changing, and you begin to act as if these are the real ones and not the one that you're taking over. That's what's gone on with the liberals, where they have attempted very clearly over the last 8 and even longer years to change the culture of America. And if you dare stand up to them, you're a racist or something else they call you, whatever they think of. And more often than not, conservatives will back down, and they'll try to turn the other cheek. And what ends up happening is they get rolled over. Well, a person like Mr. Trump comes along who doesn't understand that game. He did not grow up in that venue, and it doesn't work. He doesn't turn the other cheek. And people don't know how to take that, and so they'll now come back up with name-calling and character assassination, where he's rude and crude. And yes, there's a moment here or there. He does not walk on water. Please, I'm not deifying him. But the man is very real, very transparent. If you really listen to him and watch him over the years, he doesn't really hide because he doesn't understand playing that type of a game. And so what he is looking for are people similar to him and definitely within lockstep of his belief system, and he has found them thus far. And I think there are several others that will be chosen, possibly even this week. It might be right after Thanksgiving.
I think the most problematic person that he's tapped so far is Steve Bannon from Breitbart. That set off a wave of... I don't even know if panic is a sufficient descriptor. They were freaking out about that.
Well, but Aaron, again, I wrote an article and I sent it out. I believe you get it. Maybe you don't read my stuff, but I'm going to start sending it to Bob.
I'm only one person.
Yeah, I'm going to start sending stuff to Bob and Bill. That's what I'll do.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, we'll hook
up. You know what she said to me, you guys? Aaron told me, well, I'm really sorry. I couldn't read any of your stuff and respond to any of your texts because I've been sick all week.
I think
she took a week off, don't you guys?
It's been almost 3 weeks, and it's coming back, and I'm really not happy about it.
Hey, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Even when she's not sick, I got to get an appointment to talk to her. So, you know.
Bill sends me pictures of casserole and says it's time to come home.
Yeah, I have to bribe her.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Oh
my
guys,
gosh.
This is like meet up on Aaron Day, isn't it?
I know. Isn't it great? I'm like, okay, I can do it. Unlike some of the people that I deal with during the week, I can actually take it. I was kind of laughed because I'm the oldest of 5 kids, and
actually,
you know,
maybe tame compared to what you're used to.
Yeah, a lot.
There.
We played pretty hard, and I always kind of laugh. I'm like, these people all must be only children. They've never. There was one guy actually. There was a guy on Facebook, kind of a cowboy looking guy, and he went on a little 2 or 3 minute rant. Where he talked about how all these kids have gotten a trophy their whole life, and
Yeah, never lost.
And never lost anything, and don't know how to deal with it. He put it in a really good way. I'll link that video on the page. It was pretty funny. It's like, well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? We better take a quick break here, or we'll be tardy the whole hour. We wouldn't want that, would we, Lyle?
No, ma'am.
You wouldn't want to force me to be tardy the whole time.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, you totally would. Dr. Lyle Rapacki, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, and he works with the Arizona State Legislature. He works with all sorts of different agencies. He also, I'll read something from the bottom because I never get that far. He provides intelligence as a watchman to the Christian community nationally. And he writes a regular commentary for the Olive Branch Report, an online Christian publication. And we love having him on here. And last time we were so hurried, we thought we'd have him on again so we could just goof off. We'll be right back.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
We were in full victory lap today.
Yeah, like somebody said, be part of the solution or get out of the way.
I think,
or get in the back of the bus.
Actually, you've bastardized a couple of different quotations. Okay,
well, no, somebody else did.
Can I actually say bastardized on the radio? If I say it really soft. See, if I say it soft, it's different than if I say it out loud.
It is. It's much nicer.
So, Lyle, what about this cold case thing? Because I did read your email. By the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh, now you're making up to me, aren't you? If it's okay with you, and even if it's not.
Since you're far away and I can't actually do anything about it.
Well, since this will be the last show I'll ever do on your program, can we do the cold case in just a second?
Yeah.
I'd like to share something, if I may, about Bannon, Mr. Bannon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He has been demonized, and I wrote an article on him because he's not anti-Semitic, as they're putting out. But that's typical of character assassination. If the liberals don't get their way, they turn it into a personal attack, and you can get all gummed up in trying to defend yourself, in which you never will. It becomes a miasma, and you just get sticky into the whole thing. Steve Bannon is not anti-Semitic, and in fact, both the Anti-Defamation League, David Horowitz, and others took all that back. So after several days of attempting to slime him as such, they recanted all that. Steve Bannon came from a working class, blue-collar class background. And right after the high school, after he graduated, he joined the Navy. Then he comes back and he goes and gets really sophisticated education at Virginia Tech, Georgetown, and then Harvard Business School. Kind of sounds like a Trump person there. Then he goes to work for Goldman Sachs, and then he goes to Hollywood and works with the Seinfeld program. And he gets substantial royalties from the Seinfelds, which makes him very independent. All the while, he is conservative, but he's a nationalist. He believes in the United States. He does not believe in globalism. And much like Mr. Trump, he believes that people should be allowed, they should be given the opportunity to become all that they can be. That sounds like a commercial in itself, and I don't mean it that way. But this flies directly in the face of what has been pushed, at least over the last 8 years, if not longer, where Obama, Clinton, and others, both liberal Republicans as well as other Democrats have wanted to have a common ground where everybody gets a little piece of the pie. And that sounds sweet, and it sounds all nice. And if I gave each of you in there $5 and we all shared our $5, well, that's really kind of nice because we're all equal. But I'm also keeping you from gathering the other $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 that you could if I encouraged you to be all that you could be. And so you'll settle for that $5. Well, you look around, and Aaron has got $5, and Bill has $5, and Bob has $5, and everybody's co-equal, so you don't feel so bad, except when you begin to realize that there's other folks that are capitalizing on you remaining very low class. Bannon comes into the game because he was a Breitbart lieutenant. He and Breitbart were partners in that news organization. And some folks that I've known who knew him with Breitbart say that he was Breitbart's right brain, the other side of his brain. And they really were synergistic. They believe in the United States as a republic. They believe in free enterprise. They believe in helping people become all they can be. And I can go on down the road here. Well, Mr. Trump relates to this because he believes very much the same way. So when they came together, it was synergistic. And while Prince Rabus will go ahead and become the chief of staff and run the day-to-day operations, it's Bannon who will take a look at the longer picture. How will the Trump administration be viewed 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What are the foundational blocks, if you will, that Trump is going to build or lay down that will define his administration? Now, some of that has been already spoken of by Mr. Trump himself, but now it's going to be Bannon who will actually put that all together in a political format mechanism, if you will. Because this is something that people forget, that the White House is a political organization also, as well as a seat of power, government, and diplomacy. It is a political organization. And Mr. Bannon will be responsible for carrying out Mr. Trump's vision, but also putting a mechanism together to accomplish Trump's vision. So he's a very key player, and he is not anti-Semitic, but he is anti-one world government. He is anti-globalist, and that has got a lot of people very upset because we were well on our way to being collapsed as a independent nation, as a republic, and being brought into the one world order.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And I think you're right on target, because I think the hardest thing they're going to have to overcome is this culture of dependence on the government to give you everything you need. And, you know, you can sit down and slide uphill, and all you have to do is stick your hand out. And that's going to be a tough lesson to learn.
Well, it was funny.
Oh, you guys are really right on. If you look at what has been, I hate to use this word, taught, but it's a correct word, taught in our universities, colleges, it is that. It's to be global citizens. It's to no longer accomplish out of your own giftings, out of your own strengths, but it's to be part of the commonality of man. We're all in this together. And again, it's a lot of buzzwords that sounds nice. It sounds touchy-feely, but it goes against the very foundation of this nation. And there have been forces at work, both in the media, in the political realm, and even in the business realm, to collapse the United States as an independent, sovereign nation, and to bring us into the global community. This is one reason 7 years ago, when I began to advise members of the Arizona legislature, and then a couple of years later, it was extended to other elected officials in other states. I said there would be no secure border if the intention was to secure the 2,000-mile border from San Diego all the way over to El Paso. If that intention was for real, we would have already had a secure border. But Bush did not want it secure. nor Clinton, absolutely. And then comes Obama. The idea here of securing the United States and allowing us to be the republic that we were created to be is antithesis to what the globalists want. They do not want the United States to succeed. In fact, it was targeted years ago under Bush Sr.
Yeah.
When he talked about in his State of the Union message that America was going to be part of the New World Order. And it was now time for the New World Order to come forward. Well, from that moment on, the United States was in the crosshairs. It became extremely evident over the last 8 years. But this has been going on for some time. The border was not to be secure. And I heard you guys say, I think in the beginning of the show, unless it's my meds kicking in, I'm hearing things. But
not you too.
There are 64 nations right now. There may be 66, but 64 that have built walls. So for the United States to secure its borders and to be so lambasted demonstrates just how much pressure has been placed on the United States to collapse its sovereignty, its independence, its republic status. There are 66 nations. So when Mr. Trump talks about building a wall and then he is lambasted, it's part of the campaign to discredit him immensely. And anyone who would stand with him, fortunately, more people stood with him than didn't.
Do you think,
so
Lyle...
He is building a wall. The appointments that he's made and a couple of others that appear to be coming down the pike are all people that understand the uniqueness, the gifting, if you will, of the United States to the world. We're not perfect again, the United States. We have our flaws. But one of our gifts is to promote freedom and allow countries to be all that they're supposed to be. And the globalists detest us. They hate us. Obama hates the United States. I will say that. I have said it in writing. He has proven it. He detests the United States. And so do the other Marxists that have come in and filtered through government. You heard a couple of weeks ago, Claire Lopez and myself, when we were on your show, Claire talked about, I think we both did, how the Muslim Brotherhood and other Marxists have infiltrated all 17 intelligence agencies in the United States and the executive branch and down through the cabinet. We're in some very, very serious trouble. And Mr. Trump being elected is a miracle that this country did not, on November 8th, literally start to turn out its lights.
You know, you hit a good point there with all the department heads and cabinet and so forth being infiltrated. I think a lot of that can go away fairly quickly with Trump. But what do you think? I mean, do you think his wall is going to be a reality? Do you think he's going to have enough support to actually get that done? Because I think
there's a ton of support.
That is a huge undertaking, but it really does need to be done.
Okay, hold that thought. We've got to take a really quick break here. And just in case people are wondering how Dr. Rapacki has this amazing insight, he also holds a postdoctorate diploma in forensic counseling and another in behavioral psychotherapy. And I just got a cartoon from a friend that says, it's kind of hard to feel sorry for people who think that the government should have unlimited power, but have never considered that it might end up in the hands of someone they don't like. So you have 2 minutes to analyze those people. We're going to take a quick break. You can find all of our information at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
put this thing between us. I'm not sure what's the cause. So I swallowed all my pride, and tonight I climb the wall.
They built it in two nights, Bill. It can be done.
Oh.
Hey, and my cartoon from the last segment. Gotta give a little thanks for the great emails to Bart Lovett, who constantly keeps me in stitches. That's why I'm coughing all the time, Lyle. That's what's happening. Getting these jokes all the time, and I lock it up.
I know. It is something.
There's so many to be made, too. So,
So,
what do you think about the wall?
Yeah, is it a reality? I mean, is it something that you think he can really pull off, or do you think there's going to be too much opposition and we're going to end up with a three-stand barbed wire fence and a couple of dogs?
I just don't see him doing that.
Well, I think the answers are yes, yes, no, and yes to the four questions. Yes, it is a reality. Yes, he is going to build it. Yes, they've already begun to look at the logistics of that. You have to appreciate, listeners have to appreciate that right now, today, there are a little over 23 miles of no wall or no border. I can take you to parts of Arizona, same with California, same with Texas, where there's nothing, literally nothing. You put one foot in the United States and one foot in Mexico, and it all looks the same. You would never know. Secondly, there are the wall is more than a metaphor, but let me just say that there are several patches. I can again speak with some clarity about Arizona, where there's certain mountain ranges. It would be absolutely difficult to build a solid wall, whereas a different form of a wall would go into place. But let me just say this. What I believe is going to happen is not only will there be a wall, a literal, more physical, substantial wall, because right now you've got people climbing over this thing where there is a wall that's 16 feet tall, and they scale it within seconds, and you can watch them, and that's with 100 pounds of marijuana on their back.
Wow.
There's video after video. I mean, even conventional media is now carrying it. So there has to be some changes there, and I believe there will be, because there's already discussions with people who are knowledgeable on how to do just that. Secondly, there will be secondary walls built in certain areas where it makes it even more difficult. Yuma, the area of Yuma, which is near Sandy, you know, kind of getting ready to come over into California there, they have miles of two walls where you have to scale one, then you go through about 75 yards of no man's land, 100 yards, and then you have to scale another wall. Well, in that 100 yards, there are trip wires and cameras that give sufficient time to alert that there's been a breach. And really, if you can have sufficient time to notify the proper authorities, and then they have sufficient time to respond, you're going to cut down on a lot of this. This is a proven fact, and it's happened very successfully for a number of years in the Yuma sector. So why now are we having problems? Well, because part of building a wall is enforcing the policies, and Obama and others have said you don't enforce the policies. Right now, Arizona, and I have intel from California and Texas, but I'll stick with where I'm at. Right now, Arizona has 40,000 crossers a month.
Oh, my gosh.
40,000. No one's discussing it. No one wants to talk about it. There is a rush to the border all across the southern border from San Diego to Texas, because word has spread that if once Trump gets in, they're going to seal the border. So word has gone out all over the place, and everybody's rushing to get in here. So I believe he is going to build a physical structure, but then besides that, Bill, he is going to put into place other technology that will help support that. Then on top of that, he's going to change, radically change the entire policy that is now immigration. And he's going to initially, and they've already begun the process of looking into this, they're going to initially get rid of 2 to 3 million illegals in the United States that are gangbangers and other criminal elements. That is an easy task to take from a political judicial standpoint. Physically, it is a little bit more difficult. You've got 2-3 million people you have to round up. That's true. But again, law enforcement, if law enforcement is turned loose, and again, I'll deviate and say that there's already soft discussions, because nothing can happen until January 20th officially, but there's already soft discussions and word is leaking out that a new playbook is going to be announced for law enforcement, and that is basically do your job and stop looking over your shoulders. Well, when that becomes public and formal, law enforcement will be free to do what they do best, and that is to preserve the law and maintain the security of this nation. And they are counting on that, and they've already started to gear up for that. So, yes, I think you're going to see tremendous positive changes bringing order to our national security and to our sovereignty. Again, much to the chagrin of the globalists. And if I could, and impose on your hospitality, you take a look at a program like Fox News. Rupert Murdoch is not, he's a globalist. He is not pro-America.
Right.
He loves the capitalism system. He loves making money, billions of dollars, off of Fox News. But he is a globalist. He does not promote, and Fox News and all their various different elements, if you really take a look at it and analyze it, are starting to move to the left. Or, now what's gonna happen, they're gonna move more to the centralist. And I'll predict to you guys that Megyn Kelly will be the center of Fox News coming up.
Well, that's a bad sign.
She will be the kingpin, which means they're going to be knocking down a couple of the heretofore kingpins, like Breitbart, O'Reilly, and Hannity. So he is going to reshape the Murdoch boys. Are going to reshape Fox News, or the Fox Channel, if you will, around Megyn Kelly. I'll make that prediction.
But don't you think it would be in their best interest? I mean, let's face it, their goal is to make money, and if the public sentiment is go, secure the border, get it done, wouldn't they kind of get on board with that?
It's only half the public sentiment.
Well, I would think that. You and I, we all might think like that, but these are globalists, and they have an agenda that is vastly different than ours. If they have to steer to the right a little bit or back up and go this way, I mean, they will, because they're not going to lose sight of their agenda, their ideology, and that is that the United States will collapse one way or the other. This whole idea of Trump coming in, it's just got them wringing their hands. There's a lot of angst over this. Mr. Trump getting in was a miracle, I believe, presented by God to the United States, because there were sufficient people praying across the United States for help, for relief.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe Mr. Trump is going to fix everything, but I do believe he's giving us a respite. He's giving us a period of time to catch our breaths. We're in that much trouble, and still are. I mean, there are some serious, serious economic problems right on the horizon here. The border, other things that we're talking about are serious, serious problems. But there's some even bigger ones that he's going to have to deal with. Again, his appointment of Lieutenant General Flynn was just huge, and it sent a message to a lot of people in the global community that Trump is serious. You all will remember during the election, on several occasions anyway, Mr. Trump talked about having about 200 generals supporting him. You all remember that?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he had about 200. I mean, the number could be more specific, but 200 generals and admirals supporting him. They had come out, and they publicly supported him. And he had about 20 or 22, 23 Medal of Honor winners who also came out and endorsed him and stood with him. Well, that all came about because of Lieutenant General Flynn. Lieutenant General Flynn absolutely saw the cover-ups, the lies, the destruction of the military through by the Obama people. He saw what took place, CIA, Pentagon, State, National Security Council, up close because he was part of that until he was discharged. And so he came to Trump and said, this is what's going on, and if you are for real, then this has to be addressed. And Mr. Trump is addressing it. Well, now Lieutenant General Flynn is the national security advisor to the president-elect. And in that capacity, he will be the individual who will begin to sort through all the different agencies, all the different reports that are coming up from the intel communities that have to be put into a usable format, if you will, for the president's daily brief, the PDR, and given to the president. And he's the one that he will be one of the key people giving that briefing every day. This is very, very key position. Well, when you take a look at the behavior of General Flynn and his belief system, he is, again, very republic-minded, very sovereign-minded. He's a nationalist in that sense, believes in the supremacy of the United States, not to the degree that you go and take over another country to make them like the United States, but if a country is crying out for the help of the United States, Mr. Flynn believes that it is the United States' responsibility to at least seriously look at that cry for help. That was not what was taking place over the last 8 years.
No, before
nor was
it was
taking place during the Clinton.
Yeah, how can we benefit? And let's go roll these knuckleheads and put in our own guys. What a dumb plan. We have to take another really quick break. Dr. Packy, we will be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
This one's for Megan.
Oh.
Silver wall, bang, bang. Gone like a 59 Cadillac.
that song every week for a while. It's my new favorite song.
I was listening to that one last night. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't realize how much I liked that song. Lyle, are you in there with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Oh, good. Okay. You're so quiet.
Oh no, I was just loving that song. I think Bill has done a phenomenal job picking music.
Yep, that's Bob. Sorry,
that's Bob.
Oh, is that Bob?
Yeah, we should send you pictures of all of us so you can put some faces with.
Yeah, please, that way.
Hey, have somebody else take it.
I know I have limited time, but could I just throw out a couple of things?
Kill it.
Obama just came out because there's been a lot of pressure on him to pardon Snowden. And allow Snowden to have a free reign. And he just came out and said that he can't pardon someone who has not gone before a court and who has not been officially charged.
That's not true.
Well, that's phenomenal because that means he can't pardon Hillary either. There you go. So, again, this is his get-out-of-jail card, no pun intended. He doesn't like Hillary anyway, but this gives him the excuse that he can't do what the Hillary people want him to do. Next thing...
That's great.
The Queen of England just issued a personal invitation, which is not done normally. It's usually done through the prime ministers and stuff. But the Queen herself issued a personal invitation for Trump to visit England and her at a state function almost quickly after his election. I'm sorry, after his inauguration. And it's been accepted. This is huge because, again, you have the globalists, and she is one. You have the globalists trying to figure out who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Mr. Trump has put the globalists, the elitists, on notice that he is not going to be tampered with and go along with their program, which is what Obama has so blindly done for 8 years. And then you asked me about the announcement I sent out to y'all about the birth certificate investigation. On December 15th, that's how it's tentatively scheduled right now, there will be a press conference in Phoenix, Arizona, by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and both Sheriff Arpaio, who's on his way out of office, and the lead investigator for the cold case posse, Mike Zullo, are going to be holding a formal press conference giving the findings of the birth certificate investigation. It's been 5 years. I can say that I've been privileged to provide some consultations in the matter, so I'm limited in what I can share, but I will tell you that I believe people will be not surprised but stunned. But not surprised by the findings, because for 8 years, Obama's been nothing but a lie. And I think you're going to find that the findings, the results, the painstaking investigation has turned up conclusive evidence of the lies put forward by Mr. Obama. So that's on December 15th. Now, that is, it's in pencil. In other words, they're already moving in that direction for the 15th. It has to be before January 1st because the new sheriff takes office on January 1st, unlike the president who takes office on January 20th. So the new sheriff comes in from Maricopa County on January 1st, and he has already said that he will disband the entire cold case posse and any investigations to that effect. So this announcement will come out and scheduled for December 15th, and that's why I released that to y'all.
Well, that's going to be...
That'll be the coup de grace.
Yeah, that's going to be so... There's so much stuff that's going to come out after January. I think people's heads are going to be spinning. We need to have you back, Lyle, and I mean, you've got the inside track.
Aaron's not inviting me back, but you are. Thank you.
Okay. Definitely.
Bill's running it. Bill's in charge. I knew we'd have a good time. Hey, thanks a lot. Have fun on your other show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thanks, Lyle.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. All righty. That was our guest, Dr. Lyle Rupacki out of Arizona. Fun guy. Does a lot of national security stuff. He's got a good resume. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, for all the info, and we'll be back with Christian Rule on the VA.